Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Peace. Welcome back to Dissel Radio. It's your co-host Ariam
and Yodi,
bringing you music, culture, and everything under the sun. Sometimes it's just us, and other times we have guests, and we're blessed with one today. We have Q on the Run, Quarita, a lot of different names, but yes. We've got Q in the building. We got beauty expert, entrepreneur, stylist, slang. Many hairs by day, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you both for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Yes.
First of all, before we start, I always do this, but I got to take a moment to describe what this gorgeous woman is wearing. She showed up over here. Like, Ariam and I wanted to change after we saw her.
Yeah,
it's bad. We cannot be seen next to her, okay? She's got a dope linen suit on.
Yay.
Okay, yeah. Ivory vibes.
And let's not forget the shades right
now. Yes, shades on. Hello. I'm like, yes, you are a stylist and you wear it well, girl.
Yeah.
I was not ready.
But
for anyone who doesn't have the pleasure of seeing it, you guys heard it here.
Yes.
She looks great.
Thank you.
I love that your Instagram name is Q on the Run, but we finally caught you and now you're here.
Yes.
For a sit down.
Yes. Okay. Showing up. Right. You showed up. Today.
Thank you
for joining us.
Absolutely.
Yes. So you're a stylist. So you got to talk a little bit about your craft. Okay. Let's talk about your story. How did you know that you were going to be doing what you do?
When did I know? I'm going to be honest. And I really knew that I loved hair when I was like little, like really, really little. Like I'm talking like 3 years old, because, and I tell this story a lot, but like my grandmother used to make me take naps, and I hated taking naps. Like I hate it.
Every kid does.
Like why would you do that?
Every kid does until you get become an adult.
And you're sure, like, you want them all the time. Now, right?
Because it's like a candy to me now, but then it was like the worst thing she could ever do to my life. So I'm like, all right, she want to make me take a nap, I got something for her. So my mom sometimes would take a nap with me, like to like soften it up.
Right.
And so I was like, I'm going to stay up and play in her hair. Like I'm going to put bowrets and ponytails and whatever else I could think of. And so she would like wake up and laugh at me. So I was like, you know what? You know, I guess it was like encouragement because I just kept doing it. Like, I mean, I was that child. I would cut my Cabbage Patch doll's hair.
Oh, wow.
The only reason I played with Barbies is so that I can do their hair and dress them. Like that's like it. And when I was done with all the hair and dressing, I'm like, game over. Stop.
That is so funny.
It's kind of been in me. Like I believe in doing what you already have the resources equipped to do.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. So, big facts.
Yeah.
Well, who was your first client ever? Who, or at least anybody that trusted you with,
besides my family?
Yeah, does your family were like the demos?
My family was the demos.
Okay.
Mom was, of course, first. My little sister, who's now like 27. I mean, I used to do everything to her hair, and I used to like purposely sometimes mess it up. Like if she was being like mean to me.
Oh, like
if she was being like bad, or I had to like do it, I was like, all right, I can mess up on her.
Nothing permanent, I hope.
No, nothing permanent. Like I used to just make her braids look stupid.
Yeah.
Like stupid stuff.
Like, girl, I got this. You're gonna look so good.
You're gonna look so good. Sit there and just like torture her.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
That's what siblings are for, though.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yes.
Yeah. I even remember my cousin. This is when I was in like sixth grade. So I was 11. She was like 10. And we loved like Tina Turner. Okay. So we used to love watching What's Love Got to Do with It. And I just remember, you know, Tina Turner always has those daggone flips.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I was like, let me put some flips in your hair. Like, let me do some flips. And so when I did the flips, I already knew. I'm a hairstylist. Like, that's it.
That's what you knew.
I already knew. I was like, that's it. That's just what I'm doing. Like, period.
Oh, my gosh. Shout out to Tina and the inspiration.
That's it. I already knew. Yeah,
if you can style a diva's look, I think anything is possible.
By default, it's legendary.
It's legendary.
Yes.
Yes.
Tina's look is still being mimicked.
It's iconic.
Over and over again.
Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. So did you have to go to school or get a cosmetology license? Or?
Yeah, I did. And I...
what did you say? I like how you said that. Yeah, I did.
I did because I went to 3 different hair schools.
Oh,
so,
okay.
It was quite a little journey. Even though I knew I wanted to do hair, it's like the struggle to actually go through the process of getting to that place you want to be at. So, yeah,
I
started.
School.
Yeah, that's school period, mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah.
Yes. You got to find the right one. And now look, you out here, your clientele's lit.
I didn't even know the clientele was lit. I was just like, whoa, y'all are amazing. Yes.
All right. Yes. I see all your styles on your Instagram.
Thank you. Yeah.
And I have to say, I have short hair, but I wish I had hair so I could like.
No, you're like the perfect candidate.
I feel like you are.
You're like perfect.
You know, she does it all.
You know what's so funny? People, a lot of stylists have told me, I wish I had more clients with short hair.
No, so many of my clients actually come for transformations. So a lot of them actually have to end up cutting their hair shorter.
So explain what transformation means to people who may not know.
Honestly,
it could be two different. It could be a lot of things.
You're right. Yeah. It's literally someone who's accepting that they really are about to embark on a hair journey, and they really do have to kind of start at a beginning somewhat stage and actually go through it. Yeah, it's a big chop. I hate using that word because it's boring now. Mm-hmm. Like, so I just want to. I don't know. I just be like,
what would you use to? I think a big chop has this like negative connotation to it.
You're
like, oh my god, like you're dreading it.
You're dreading it. I gotta take everything off. Everything must go.
It's the big chop,
right?
You know? I think it's one of the most liberating experiences.
It is. It's but like, the name in general is like.
We got to brainstorm on an alternative. We got to think about.
So you call it transformation, which is the same thing. You know?
Oh, transformation. Yeah, that works too.
Yeah, I guess it's like. Yeah, I mean, transformation is cliche now too. So. It's going to be something. It's going to come to something.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'm like, we have to remove what needs to be removed. Or I'll be like, we need to make way for new.
Yes.
Let's detox the hair.
Something detox. Yeah.
That works too.
They're like, all right, let's detox the hair.
Because some people are very much attached to
the hair.
Even when the ends are
seen. Is that a problem that you constantly see with some clients, like resistance?
Yeah. Definitely. I didn't even know. I feel like I'm getting, like, these last 2 years since I did leave the salon that I was actually an employee of, mm-hmm. is when I really got even more connected to, like, how attached clients are with their hair. And it's not just their hair. It's just the life that has come along with it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not just hair. It's, like, everybody's words that came along with it, all their experiences, you
absolutely.
Know, all their insecurities, all their doubts. It's like so much. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, this is way bigger than hair, but we'll let
this is a good point.
So let's unpack that a little bit. So I always feel like the process of going to a stylist is a very intimate experience, right? Like you were saying, you start seeing things become more and more revealed to you through conversation, through the transformation process as well. I feel like it's almost like a therapy session.
Mm-hmm.
And after you find a stylist, when you find a stylist, it's like a marriage, right? There's like a loyalty there. There's a trust, there's a vulnerability there. Do you ever feel like you were always able to connect with people prior to practicing like being a stylist, or is it something that kind of you developed over time to like take in all of those?
I've always been connected to people.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I tried to run, it was like, even when I literally tried to run, hence on the run.
Plug.
Yeah. Even when I tried to run, like, I mean, I'm in my elementary school. Like, you remember they used to have, what do you call it? Peer mediation? Or was it called peer mediation? Did y'all used to have that?
I don't know what that is.
So peer mediation was when they like give a job to your peers to be able to mediate in the classroom.
Peer mediation. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Two words. Okay.
Okay.
So
I'm pretty sure there was something like that.
Probably.
I don't know what we called it though. But yes.
But you know, it was something like that.
I know that, yeah.
I never got the position, but everyone always made me the peer mediator. So it was like other people in the classroom was the were the official peer mediators, but my friends and people would come to me. And I would just be like, well, look, let's solve the issue. You know what I mean? Like, let's not let's not debate. Let's not gossip. Let's solve the daggone issue. And I mean, this was in elementary school. And so
you having all that responsibility.
Yeah. When I think back, I'm like, oh.
So maybe you were built for this.
You were. You were.
God was preparing something.
Yes. Okay. But that is such a good point. I mean, even like a relationship with like your barber. Like, I see a lot of men show like a loyalty, like a trust. Even Yodi, when she used to get her hair cut.
I feel bad, but I used to have this one barber and me and him really just connected. And I used to go to him religiously and I was like, yes, you're the man. You like, you know what I like. It's what it is. And one day I was not able to go see him. Right? I had to improvise and I went to another barber and he hooked it up.
The other one.
The new barber. Right? And when I tell you, my fade was like, you couldn't catch it. It was lit like, yo. When I saw my hair, I knew instantly that that was, he was the one. And I felt so terrible. It's so crazy that I
cheated on your barber.
I felt like I had cheated on him. I was like, why do I feel this like,
it's hot,
like,
yeah.
This omnipresent guilt, like a dark cloud. Like, I just betrayed him, and I was, like, thoroughly enjoying the results. Like, right. I was just, like, I felt so guilty. But then now I'm growing it back, so I am not.
You're seeing no one.
I'm seeing no one. I am seeing
now
no
I'm
one.
Single.
Single. I'm single. Yeah. Single AF. So it was great. No, but I understand.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have those moments with your clients, too. Like,
right.
That relationship there, but
well, yeah, you know what I also tell people, and I tell my clients this too, because some of them get really, they get worked up. Like some of them be like, oh my God, I cheated on you. And I'd be like,
at least you're honest.
I'm like, it's okay. They was like, I just couldn't get in with you, and I just, you know, I just had to go somewhere else, and I didn't. And I'm like, listen, this is your life, and you got to get it done. Just do not worry. Like, you, I mean, like, I love and appreciate like our connection, but
and the commitment
yes. Like, it's a, like, when I think about it, I'm like, you don't have to come see me ever in life. Like,
that's
how
big.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody has to ever come see me again, and there will be some other talented person, but yet they're like, you know what, I'm with her because it's bigger than hair.
It is bigger than hair. So when you, in order to like generate new clients, you know, social media plays a big factor in a lot of different avenues of creativity. But do you feel like it has changed the game for the beauty world?
What? I mean,
how you like get your outreach and everything?
I can't even believe it. So when like, you know, MySpace back in that day.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, yeah.
I was the person when all my friends were on like Blackspace. I mean, what do you call it?
Black Planet.
Mm-hmm. And MySpace. Mm-hmm. I was the one who was not. And I was the one who was like against social media, unless it was for business.
Okay.
So when I finally was like, all right, I'll make me a MySpace page. It was literally a hair page. And I was 18 years old and I was working in a nursing agency. And I remember making it and ordering my little hair cards. And I was like, oh, yes, I'm in business.
Professional.
Now. Right. Like, I was like, I'm in business. But I was sad, too, because I was like, oh, I have no photos. I have no portfolio. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I was like literally praying every day, please, I just can't wait till I have a portfolio. And so now as time has progressed, I'm like, whoa, social media has allowed people to have a real live like portfolio, a platform. It's basically like a website.
Right.
Yeah, so to me, I'm like, this is what it's utilized for. Like, this is like the purpose of it.
Right.
So I'm like, this is just, it's grand. Like, I was really the one who was, like, so against social media. Like, that was not my
and
thing.
And now you're like, I need to get with the program.
I'm like, I love it. That's for what it's worth.
Right. Yeah, like, I love it. I mean, that's how I honestly connect with stylists today. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, I hear somebody does XYZ. Let me go on their Instagram.
Yeah.
Page.
Right.
That is their portfolio. Thing. That is a good vetting process for a potential client to, like, seek
really
out
is.
So they can really feel like, okay. And you don't have to actually go anywhere.
No.
Like, it's like your own, you decide for yourself from there. So you definitely do it well.
Well, thank you. I try.
I've seen your looks. Yeah, like the spread is so beautiful. It's like
you see
all the different hairstyles and the curls that are flourishing, like the post like style. The pre and post. I love seeing that transition. Like,
thank you.
Aesthetically pleasing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. You heard it here, folks.
I like that. I like that.
So, yeah. You're an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure I feel like it's like an ever evolving process.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're kind of just like working at it, and it's just always something. Like you're building, you'll hit a milestone, and you're always building.
Yes.
So what is one thing, I always want to ask entrepreneurs this, but like what is one mistake
mm-hmm.
that you made over and over again?
What is my
like mistake? Like a challenge that you've kind of took time to, it took you longer to unlearn while you were going through it?
Honestly,
because people are always like, oh, like people ask, like, you know, what was your journey like? But like I feel like there's always that one thing or moment that you like, or thing that you do
mm-hmm.
that takes you time to kind of like let go of.
The thing that I do would have to be doubt,
mm-hmm.
procrastination.
Mm.
Yeah, doubt and procrastination, and actually settling in on the actual idea, or being what would you call it, decisive.
Okay,
that will be definitely three of my things that I really have to work.
So how do you think? What ways do you think can help you unlearn that? Like, what practices do you think you'd have to
learn? I have to constantly do the work.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I don't.
Yeah.
I can't really afford to stop. Like I can't afford to stop like investing in myself mm-hmm. mentally,
mm-hmm.
spiritually, physically, emotionally. Like you really can't.
Right.
I mean, you may cry and be like, you know, I have my days, but there really are no days off. Like mm-hmm. you gotta just keep going, and you gotta read what you need to read. I have to listen to what I need to listen to. You know, when God has me moving away, I have to do it eventually.
Right.
Like
mm-hmm.
you're gonna have to do it. And so I just keep pouring into myself and whatever.
I appreciate you saying that.
Yes.
Because I feel like a lot of the times entrepreneurs neglect their mental health and their spiritual health.
Like, no, that's important.
I feel like that hustle mentality, you know, it's great.
Right.
It gives you results, but you at the same time could be potentially like neglecting things that are probably more valuable than,
yes.
you know, things that, you know,
and also
seeing, so.
Taking a break if necessary is something that I notice a lot of entrepreneurs have a tough time doing. And if they do, they beat themselves up for it.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you seem like remotely inconsistent, it kills them.
Right.
It's like, you know, oh, where'd you go? You fell off kind of thing. And I feel like that's
so
not
true. Though. It's so true.
It's not healthy.
But it's not. It's it not is. Healthy because you, if you don't have a foundation to stand on, you can have all the things going on around you. You can have all the money and all the businesses and all the popularity, but there's no roots there. So you know what I mean? Like, how do you flourish?
Mm-hmm.
You have nothing to stand on. You have nothing. You have nothing to give eventually. So it's like I have to constantly even remind myself, like I have to force myself that, like, today is your rest day. Tuesdays are initially supposed to be my rest day, so I have to like even fight on Tuesdays
right.
that the assignment is to rest. The assignment is not to, like,
that is so true,
you know, like
I'm gonna take a pause. And even that, I mean, I even find that in myself. I'm like, okay, even though like I decided that I'm just gonna chill,
right.
I'm thinking about what I can do the next day, like
always.
And then I end up planning.
You know,
planning. Like, I am not resting.
Writing a to-do list.
Yes. Right.
You don't wrote 10 things on the dang on to-do list.
Right.
That you're not going to do
right.
tomorrow.
You're not going to do. Yeah.
Just stop.
You got to hold yourself accountable, too. And I learned that even, you know, in my own life. You know, you can write all these things down, but you cannot have the expectation that it's all going to get done.
That it's all going to get done because, in literally a week.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. Houseway.
But
I really appreciate you even mentioning, like, a rest day.
Yeah.
Because we all need that.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about your field is that, okay, you're utilizing social media, you're creating content, but you're also doing hair and styling people. Like, that is a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Isolating that alone.
Yeah.
And then you're also trying to populate your business. Like, that is added, like, workload. So it's people don't understand, like, when you need a rest day, like, mm-hmm. you actually
need it.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to know sometimes if you're stressed or if you're working too much, because it doesn't sometimes feel like work. Like, I'll just be going and going and going, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm actually working. Like, if you're editing a video, that's working. Even though you're doing it in your bed, all that thought process, and you're trying to, like I'm not just doing it just to do it. I'm doing it because I really am trying to convey a message to people. Right. And if you're trying to convey a message, that takes a lot out of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then like, people are like, okay,
you're occupied. Like,
and it's okay to be passionate. It's truly okay to be that.
Right.
But also, you know, we kind of overlook that. That could be, like, a lot of pressure and somewhat debilitating to you. Like,
yeah.
So people, if you're listening,
balance
your spiritual, emotional, and mental health.
Ooh.
Should just be valued, and it's an investment as well. So don't forget that.
Definitely.
That's a major takeaway from today.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yes, but I think we may actually have to take a quick break.
Yes, we have our soul pick of the week. Track's called PTSD from J. Cole's project Revenge of the Dreamers 3. We'll be right back. This is Da Soul Radio. Me like the steel of a hatchback. He was there for Q like a fourth grade class fact. Q was there for me, never needed to ask that. PTSD, now I'm having a flashback. Told me I'm too sweet, can't sleep in the trap. And a BMV made the strap go blap. You the missing piece, no peace when I sleep now. Used to practice peace, finna sleep with the peace now. No, I'ma miss you long as I'm alive. You said you either gon' hear it, should I try? I wish I didn't have the song to write. I know you probably rather me keep it light.
My mama told me faith is all that I need. And back in the day I would've agreed, but now it's hard to believe. I still do not, cause I won't, cause I need to. Believe in something greater than me without being able to see it. So fuck a watch and wear my heart on my sleeve. Nobody knows my sorrow, nobody knows about the trouble I've seen. A lot of dead niggas living through me shouted, but not in the literal. More so dead cause they ain't follow their dream. The power of a higher entity into me. Mentally, physically, spiritually, I'm on a whole different energy. Fuck the world, but I need you to remember me. I had doubt myself cause I used to feel that you would look at me different. If I ever changed, I'm numb to it now. I don't feel the same, a slave to the feeling. I'm breaking the chains, trying to balance out the joy, the pain, the sun, the rain. My life and the fame, the loss, the gain, the guilt, the shame. My skin, my veins, the soul, the brain. So much on my heart, really I don't know where to start. The irony of finding itself in the dark. My nigga truthfully feel like it's two of me. I should've been on that art. A love-hate relationship with my thoughts. I'm trying to shine in my own light. The realest nigga left in my own right. Helping you with your vices, but can't seem to get a grip on my own life. Yeah. I was on my way down, breakdowns, breakthroughs, spit about my debut. Gotta say I stay true, maybe why I stay broke. I've been on a goose chase, gotta swallow pride when they see me, how the truth tastes. Off the beaten path like Blueface, on the north side, had to be a Tuesday. Walking slow with your kids on a school day, way past midnight, suddenly my mood changed, that's when the truth came. In New York, hearing rumors, my sister was homeless, don't visit too often, been years since we talked, number changed. Saw you and my heart broke in a couple ways, can't believe when I seen you, I knew shit was true. Stared in your eyes, then I saw a different you, skated off fast before I could address it. Hope I ran into you before we both get to heaven.
We eyes, you opened up my eyes and helped me see the light.
Peace, welcome back to Da Soul Radio. It's Ariam
and Yodit,
bringing you music, culture, and everything under the sun. Y'all were just listening to our soul pick of the week, PTSD from J. Cole's project Revenge of the Dreamers 3. I love that track.
I love it too.
Every
song I've heard so far has been great.
I mean, it's funny because his last project had like
no features.
And now it's all features. If you haven't checked it out yet, you definitely should. It's like it's features, but they're all bomb.
It's like the Avengers of features.
Oh.
Like he just
amazing. And not in the same way that like Khaled does it, where it's like, you're a hit maker, we're gonna make this big hit. No, like these songs flow much
and
more.
And he really put on a lot of artists, so yeah. I'm really happy about it.
I'm gonna listen to it when I get
this. Listen when you can.
So shout out to J. Cole and the collaborations. Revenge of the Dreamers is out now on all socials, and I'm sorry, music platforms.
Yes.
I always say socials.
All music platforms.
And I'm sure social media too, just not J. Cole, because he's not on Instagram. And Instagram matters. That's probably why I
I adore him as a human.
He's modern.
Is he on Twitter though?
No, he's on Twitter, I think.
Yeah, I'm just not.
The reason
I don't really like Twitter that much.
Yeah. Twitter is not. I don't use it. Yeah, for me, it's like I don't have enough updates.
Yeah,
like
I'm a visual person,
so that's why I'm like always on Instagram. But tweeting is good though. It's really great for social and cultural forums.
I mean, Black Twitter.
Whenever
is
there's
great.
Like. Especially Black Twitter. I live for Black Twitter. Oh my gosh.
I don't.
Their commentary on cultural events
is good.
Is necessary.
It's necessary.
Necessary.
I should take a little peek.
Yeah, take a little peek.
Okay.
Yeah, look up a few hashtags.
I'll take a peek.
Yeah, guys, we are joined today by hairstylist and entrepreneur Quarita Futrell. Just killing it. This interview has been so dope so far, but we have some couple questions that we want to ask you because we've got more to know.
Definitely.
So as a stylist, you know, there are probably times where you kind of butt heads with clients, not in a bad way, but they may not be, I want to say, ready for change. What is something that you tend to see with some of your clients that come as like maybe like a conflict?
It's funny because... So here's the thing. It's like always a contradictory moment. They'll be like, yeah, like I just want to like have a change and I want this for my hair and I want my hair to look like this and I'm ready for this, but I don't want to lose length or I don't want too much change because of my job or, but do whatever you want.
Because of her, your job, like styling it?
You know, like a lot of times they have like a lot of apprehensions due to their profession.
Like corporate spaces.
Corporate spaces. Family.
Which is so interesting. Like family. Still, which is so crazy to think that hair is still part of the conversation in corporate America.
Because you know, you want to know why people aren't having enough conversation with the people who don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because we as Black women have to be so self-aware.
Yeah.
That we even base the decisions behind how we style our hair, like we have to be the ones who are making those adjustments.
Right.
It's crazy because I've met people that are like, okay, I love this look, but I don't want to start another conversation. I don't want a conversation piece.
That is exactly a lot of things that I hear. Mm. I just don't want to have to answer the questions. Mm. But you should be the one who answers the questions.
Right. Is that what you tell your clients?
Like, yeah. And it's not always, you know, digest it quite well because they look at me like, you don't understand. You're a hairstylist. You don't have to deal with that.
I mean, it's sad, but it's true.
Yeah.
Like, I even, so obviously my hair is like big and in a fro, but when I have job interviews, I have to make sure that my hair is either straight. I've straightened my hair for job interviews. I've straightened for certain spaces.
Right.
Or I make sure that it's all the way brushed back because I can't rock. I don't feel... Like, I can rock the way my hair is now until I get the job. And then when I get the job...
Right.
Have you ever
This is how I have experienced
a
personally.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
So when you have those moments of tough love, when you're pretty direct, like, you can do what you want to do.
Right.
Do you ever feel that... Have you ever had moments where your clients are, like, receptive? And they're like, yeah.
Eventually.
So it takes time.
Some clients, it definitely takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because when it takes time, they're like, oh my God, I'm ready. And I'm like, I'm not doing it if you're not ready.
Right.
I was like, this isn't forced. You know what I mean? I don't need
to. Well, it has
to
be ready.
You know what I mean? You have to be ready. So it's like eventually because we have the conversation so much and eventually they, I guess... In some way, shape, or form, they see the message I was trying to tell them in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
They come to an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, they're the ones that's like, oh my God, I'm so ready for this.
Right.
I'm like, yes, you should be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're
and it's
here.
It's crazy because it's natural. It's you, you know.
But see, and that's where I had to like put myself in their place because I don't really, not as much as other people, I've never really had to deal with closing myself out or you know, putting myself too much in a box with my style. The only time that I had to is when I really just did it to myself.
Okay.
But other people have people telling them, their mom, like, this is how you should wear your hair. If my mother ever told me this is how you should wear my hair, I would like girl, your hair looks crazy. Like, let me do this. And so I think so many people have spent their lives trying to conform to their family.
Right.
Then they grew up. They're like, now I got to conform to this boss of mine.
Right.
Oh, wait. Now I have a husband.
Right.
And I have to conform to him. Right. Or boyfriend.
That is so interesting.
And so they have all these, they have this huge triangle. Mm-hmm. Those three main triangles mm-hmm. of people that they are trying to, I don't know.
Adhere to.
Adhere to.
Yeah. That's so. It's crazy, but that's why we need more stylists like you, because you have compassion for those moments, but you have the ability to let them know that, hey, you can do what you want. Take your power back with how you express yourself with your image and your identity.
Right.
So, yeah.
So I have a question. So how long have you been styling? Like, for how many years?
Like, professionally? Professionally,
well, I guess you've been doing it. I guess just in general, because
for like almost forever. But I'll say professionally, like I've actually been in a salon environment mm-hmm. for 10 years, okay. almost 11. Yeah, so professionally in a salon environment.
Okay, so I'm sure you've seen it in real time, the mm-hmm. natural hair revolution, right?
Right.
So, I mean, even growing up myself, mm-hmm. I went from learning that relaxing my hair was beautiful.
So, right.
Scratch the whole professional thing, that it was equating to beauty.
Yeah.
To then relearning my curl pattern and understanding that, oh, I actually love the way that my natural hair looks.
Right.
Has that changed the way or the, I guess, amount of clients that you have that are wearing their natural hair or styling their natural hair in comparison to getting it relaxed and getting it permed and all that?
Meaning, like, is there...
Like has is there a shift...
Yeah, well, yeah. When I first started in the salon, my clientele was just very, very diverse. Mm-hmm. So I had all, you know, it was just so many different types of textures of hair. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even ethnicities and so many different type of cultures. Then over the last 2 years, for some reason, there's really been a shift of just clients with curly hair mm-hmm. more so mm-hmm. than ever. And they... A lot of them have never even got their hair cut to wear in its natural state. So I was like, whoa. And in my mind, because I had been diva trained for so long, I'm like, oh, yeah, everybody's shifted already. And I didn't realize that there were so many people who haven't. So I want to say most of my clients are naturally curly clients.
Okay.
I think it's just... It really, when I sit down and think about it, I'm like, this is one of the most interesting things ever. Mm-hmm. That, like, I don't know, because, like, just everything it teaches me, just about life in general, I'm like, it's just, it's crazy. Like, I mean, like, to see people go from not accepting just, I guess, themselves, and then they just to see people like, oh, my God, my hair, this is my hair. Like, I hear a lot of people like, my hair isn't curly. No, you're the epitome of curly hair.
Right.
Like, you
people
have,
don't even know.
No, they don't know.
I didn't even know my curl pattern, because Yodi and I, we had started wearing relaxer. We were, like, in elementary school.
Yeah.
Elementary school.
Or something.
Then we kind of dipped out of it for a little bit, then re-entered it in high school and everything. And I didn't really know my curl pattern because I didn't even have time to explore it.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of women, too.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. Like, I didn't even like my hair, like my actual hair, until I was 16. Mm. So I did just, like, a lot of exploring. That's probably why I loved doing hair so much at the time, because I was like, I'm trying to find that moment of loving my hair. And I thought it had to be this or that. And then one day, the day I accepted it, I'm like, oh, life is grand now. So it's just been that adventure. So when I see people starting to like their hair, I'm like, they're at that place.
Yeah.
Now we can really embark on some change. I'm right. like, okay, now I see what's happening. So
it's actually really deep.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So speaking of curly hair, let's talk about your curl sessions.
Oh, yeah.
That's something we need to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an event series, right?
So curl sessions, like when I... It was funny because, like, once again, when I left the salon and I was like, okay, I'm going to go work at Taylor & York because then I could work for myself. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I had this flush of curly clients. And I was working with, and I still do, a young lady, Ramona Jones, with Roxbury Group. And she was just like, this curly hair, this is a thing. And I'm like, yeah, I've been doing curly hair. You know, I was like, I don't know. I'm like, I didn't know it was just that amazing. She was like, you have to start doing these curl sessions. And I'm like, yeah, I should. And so we started just like, we did like two events, and then slowly but surely, I didn't, you know, other people just were like inviting it on. They're like, you should do a demo here. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do a demo there or do a demo here. So it has like progressed, and it's definitely going to progress even more to actual like workshops and places where not only stylists mm-hmm. can learn about cutting and caring for curly hair, because that's the most important part about the curl sessions. Is it's not just about creating a beautiful shape that's Instagram worthy. It's mm-hmm. about really, you know, like letting the client understand what is best for your individual hair. Right. I can't cut your hair like hers. Mm-hmm. I can't style your hair like hers. No, you're not going to use the product like your favorite Instagram influencer, because mm-hmm. that's not for you.
Right.
No, what we're going to do is prescribe something specifically for you.
Exactly.
And that's like the benefit.
Yeah.
Whether
a lot of people
need
that education, because like Ariane was saying, this wave of natural hair, because it's, you know, natural hair has had its wave of like resurfacing.
Right.
But this current wave that we're on, I feel like there's a lot of sources and education mm-hmm. out there, but there's still, you know, that need for access in real time, because a lot of people don't even know their own curl patterns.
Right.
So they don't know, like you were saying about products for specific patterns, like people don't even know the grade scale.
Yeah.
Like I just now understood.
And it can be so complicated because it's so saturated with all this information.
Yeah. Right.
Like I have clients come in overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I literally have to like kind of calm it down a little bit. Be like, you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
No worries. And they're like, oh my God, I have these shelves of products and I've been doing this and doing that. And then I heard someone tell me that I should do this. Should I not do that? I'm like, don't worry. We're going to start square one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We're going to go from here. We'll go from there. And you're going to know everything for your process at home. And then when you come back in about 3 months or so, mm-hmm. and you've lived with your hair, you build up that momentum, that understanding.
Right.
Then we're going to start somewhere else. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. could you imagine you going to the doctors and them giving you all this freaking information that you need to do, what you need to do, you need to do this. Have you been listening to this? Have you been watching it? No.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me something for me.
I feel that anxiety.
Like, it's a lot.
Like, you're so right. That's a perfect analogy.
It's a lot.
Going to the doctor.
True.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people are like, okay, I just transitioned, but like, I still don't know what to do. And like, you're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to do the research, but it's just so much because like,
you don't know. And it's
understanding
like trial and error.
Understanding your curl pattern, and then understanding like the specific products. And then I realize after you find the product that suits your hair, being consistent with it, because if you try to keep changing products, your hair is like, it's living, and it's just trying to adjust to what you're putting into it.
Yeah. So. And it changes.
Yeah, you're, and that's,
you know what I mean?
Something
your hair grows. Yeah, it changes.
Yeah.
Seasonally, we live in a climate where there's four seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, DC's water is different. Maryland's water is different. Mm-hmm. If your hair grows 2 inches, that's going to be a little different. You have to use something new. You get color. I mean, everything. You start, taking some sort of medication, or your diet changes.
Mm-hmm.
You start working out. Oh, I stopped working out. Anything. Everything.
It's
just change. It's just these shifts. And people are like, how do I, journey my way through this?
Mm-hmm.
Guidance. Don't worry. Guidance. I do not try and fix my car. I leave that to the mechanic. Tell me what to do.
I definitely don't ask that many questions because I don't know that much about
it. It's a lot. I'd be like, so what's up? Like, go fix this.
Can you fix
You're
it?
Like a hair doctor, essentially.
And that's what I...
It's starting to feel like it just based off this combo.
So have you guys ever did like holistic, do you do like mm-hmm. holistic care?
Mm-hmm.
Like doctors that are like naturopath or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
So when I started, when I was like 24 is when I went to like my first, like had my first holistic experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we sat down for like an hour and a half and just talked, hashed it out, went over my entire history.
Oh, wow.
Based on my history and the things that I told her. Even from that just one conversation, I felt like, whoa, I found the person who can like start my healthcare journey, like my real healthcare journey. Mm-hmm. I've always been health conscious, but I'm like, now this is it. This is what I've been searching for. Mm-hmm. And so when clients come to me, I try and remember and put myself in that place. Like, what am I looking for when I come to someone? I'm really looking for real life answers. I know you're not God, but however he chooses to use you, please, you know, allow yourself to be used. So when they sit down, I'm like, I have to step away. Like, myself has to actually separate from what it is I'm meant to do during that session. And so it's like, how can I, like, really, like, I have to really step away and be like, no, you need to be of service to this person. Even if it's small, wow. You know?
A word on a Sunday.
I love that. Yes. A word on a Sunday.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So, wow. I just try.
Yes. So you feel like this is, like, your purpose.
Well,
one of your purposes.
It's one of, because it's always going to lead to something. And
right.
It's always just going to keep going and developing and going. But yeah, I'm definitely feel like I'm living in my purpose. Like, I'm definitely doing this. This is purposeful. Definitely.
That is deep. Yeah. Yes.
Yes,
I love that.
Yes. So you do, I've seen in the past on your Instagram, you have some product reviews or you've shown you using products yourself on your own hair.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of sparked a question for me, because you're so knowledgeable about different products and hairstyles. Do you ever feel like you want to kind of delve into creating your own line or your own products?
That's so funny that you said that, because that was one of my thought processes today. Oh. When I was thinking back to something that like was like a vision that was sent to me, and it literally was about a product that really helps, you know, clients with hair growth.
Mm.
And it seems so far-fetched, because it's like real hair growth, not like, I think my hair is growing, or I'm taking a vitamin. And so, yeah, definitely I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Like, I would definitely probably move into that direction.
And you are so knowledgeable, like Aryan was saying, about products, right? You could, and I'm sure it would be, you could even consider like non-toxic products. Because a lot of the products that are out here that are catered to at least black hair are so toxic.
Yes.
And so I feel like you would take that into account.
It's funny, because I recently, you know, things start small, but I was like, you know what? Let me make some sprays. Let me make a little oil.
Okay.
Not this special. But I was like, my clients who wear preserving hairstyles, like hair designs, which are wigs.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them were like new clients. So they'd never worn a hair design before in their life. So I was like, oh my God, I had to send these people on their way with this freaking hair that they know nothing about. And it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, girl, you better think of something to help them. Like, when they take it off, you know, give them something. So I was like, all right, I'll make a little hair spritzer that kind of cleanses the scalp, and then an oil that moisturizes it, right? And so I'm like, just simple little ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm making them, I'm like, this is how it starts. You know what I mean? This is how it begins. But I am thankful for the products that are out now.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially the ones who are made by people who have curly hair.
Because they understand.
They understand it. Even though they're not professional, so they don't have they don't have the education component. I think that's just what it's mixing, and that's why I like where I like to stand in, because it's interesting that so many of these products sold in like our stores, like our CVS's and our Targets, are actually really beneficial.
Right.
Because I used to be one that was like, do not buy anything from CVS. Don't you buy anything from Target or Amazon. You only buy professional brand from the hair salon.
Girl, it's crazy, because the natural hair industry is so expensive.
You think it's expensive?
I do. A lot of the products, the good products, they know they capitalize off of that for sure. That's why it's like I do the research on the certain products that should go with my hair. And it's not even like the product itself is expensive, but it's not worth like the quantity.
The amount.
Like the amount of the product.
You're
like,
because they say generous amount.
Yeah.
Generous is subjective.
Yeah.
Considering how much hair we have, we can have.
That's one of the, yeah, that is a thing I have
so,
to like.
So people can go through.
You can go through a bottle, like
a bottle or so.
About 2-3 hairstyles. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. And we're right. sisters, so we use the same products. So we'd be sharing.
Yeah.
We'd be running out of products all the time. I'd be like, you're buying this one next.
And it's a commitment. Once you find that product, you just restock. And then,
right.
you know, it's like you are committed and then you find yourself. If I were to like chart out how much money I've spent on natural hair products, I think I would be like. Shocked.
Up there. $20,000 a year. $20,000 a year.
Yeah. So yeah. I think it's something you should consider.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's hard because like you read about products that you shouldn't have in your hair and then you actually read the ingredients and you're like, I cannot even pronounce this and spell this and I don't think it should be in my head.
Yeah, like, some of them, I mean, so like I do the same thing with food. I'm like, I can't pronounce this.
Mm.
That equals I shouldn't even eat it.
Right.
Right. But then when it comes to like natural products, to be honest, you could sit like one product line, Curl Mix. Mm. They're pretty natural.
Yeah.
I mean, just straight to the point.
Right.
So like I commend product lines like that. But then I'll hear clients say, oh my God, I can make that in my house. Well, yeah, you can, but the point is there's someone else making it for you.
Right.
So it's almost like I'm wondering, do product brands feel like, oh, if I don't have something in there that somebody can't easily get their hands on, you know what I mean? Like, you know, what separates me from the YouTuber making products at home?
What I do take issue with now is that the natural hair products that exist now,
mm-hmm.
they are already like, with it, like they know what's good for our hair, vice versa. But I've noticed that mm-hmm. lately a lot of products that are catered generally to mm-hmm. hair for white women,
mm-hmm.
they will take language, mm-hmm. right? Like, oh, this, and they'll mention products that they have,
right,
with things that are trending in the natural hair community. So they'll say, oh, this Suave shampoo has like shea butter,
right?
Like, oh, but it'll be like coconut or like avocado oil or something that you didn't necessarily like mm-hmm. think that they had in their products in the past, but they pay attention to what's trending,
and so
they'll put it on their packaging, and then you're like, all right, this might actually work, and then it might be like what, like 2% in there,
of course,
like a drop. So that's the one thing I'm like, okay, y'all. So when there are good products out there for natural hair, people are loyal.
Honestly, there are a good amount.
Yeah.
In comparison, especially if we want to compare it to like some odd years ago when I didn't know what to do. I used Jerry Curl stuff. Whatever that blue stuff is, that's what I used.
Oh gosh.
I tried my hardest. I put that jam. That glaze.
I think everybody had jam. I think everybody did.
You just knew your hair was pretty when you put jam in.
Yes,
your hair.
That's what I was saying.
You just knew, like, I want to slick it down. Yeah. It's going to be sleek and cute.
Yes. You got to have the old faithfuls.
You have to.
They've been around for a reason.
They've been around.
They have been around for a reason. So I'm not going to fake.
But I understand what you're. I understand what you're saying about certain
So it's just so interesting brand. That. People will really hop on trends, so you got to like be able to be like a conscious consumer and be like
but you got to also think about it. Now don't get me wrong, some of my curly clients, I mean, they're all racist, you know what I mean, but of course the majority happens to be Black American women, mm-hmm. or you know, some sort of Black woman, and we are trendsetters.
Yes.
We really are trendsetters. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're coming to a place where we understand, because we're trendsetters, we can actually make the call. You know what I mean? Like, when you think about it, there's a lot of brands that are owned by Black women.
Right.
Like, and there's so many. And I feel like, and especially when we're moving towards, we really like to, like, link together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I feel like that part is going to keep growing. It has no other choice, because your hair is not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Your hair is not going to change.
Right.
Your children's hair is not going to change.
Yes.
Their children's hair is not going to change. So it's not a fad. How can it be a fad when, like, we're all born with it?
It is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah. I think.
Well, shout out to Black women.
Yeah.
you
definitely
know? We already know, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You can't forget it.
No. Mm-mm.
Q, thank you so much for Absolutely. Joining us today on DeSoul Radio.
Yes, if folks such a pleasure.
Thank if folks want to get to know your work brain. And follow you, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Q Futrell Hair, or Q Futrell, or my website on the run with 3ns.com. I also service clients at a Taylor and York salon that's in the Shaw Howard area. 7th and Q Street.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And yeah,
that sounds like perfect.
Yes, I'm like, how did this happen?
Is it like fate? I think it's fate.
Fate. And I'm on the run as well. So
yes,
I'll be in other cities.
Thanks for sitting with us today.
Thank you, guys.
Miss on the Run. It was such a great conversation.
Absolutely.
Guys, if you liked what you heard, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DEUXSOL. And of course, we'll be back same time, same place next week. Till next time, peace. Peace, peace.